He went home to be with the Lord this week, and so the funeral is tonight. And Jimmy wanted to go home. His wife passed away last February, I think February 12th. And when Jimmy went in the hospital, he said, "You ain't giving me any medicine. You ain't putting that mask on my face. I'm claustrophobic. We're just riding this out." And he went home. He said, "I hated coming home to that house by myself." But he was always out there witnessing. He had some of the most amazing stories on how God used him. One night he was out driving around. Holy Spirit said, "Take a right." Driving down another road, he said, "Take a left." And he said, "Take another right." He said, "Pull in this driveway." He said, "Go in there and tell this guy about me." He never met the guy. He walked in. It was a judge. Jimmy had had some problems in the past, and he was a little nervous, you know. But he walked in there and got the judge saved. The judge was getting ready to commit suicide. Yeah. He had a gun there in his desk. He went in there. That night, the judge called his family. 9 people got saved in one night because he listened to the leading of the Holy Ghost. That's the kind of stuff. So when he got there, he heard that song, "Thank You," because there was a whole bunch of them that he spent his whole life ministering and praising God and then touching those that were lost. And so I want to encourage you, but we just pray for the family because it's always tough. You know, you lose your mom in February, your dad the following January. And so they're going to be walking through. They're all believers. And so that's a wonderful thing. You know, they're not grieving as those with no hope. And that's where we are. I'm just jealous that he beat me home. That's my thinking, because he's not worried about it. He doesn't have any more tears or sorrow or anything. Amen? He's walking with him because that's what the scripture says. To be absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. That's right. And so as we end, listen, if you've never fasted before and you fasted the whole 21 days with us, or even if you did, you know, an extended time, be careful coming off, all right? Don't shove half a ham down your head. It won't go well with you. There was a certain pastor that did that. He had fasted for 15 days, and he went to his mother's, and he was going to keep fasting, and but the smell of that ham and cabbage cooking, he just couldn't help himself. And he broke his fast, and he just wolfed it down. And that, later that night, he was laying in bed crying out, "Come out in the name of Jesus." He thought he had a demon. He was in so much pain, he was out of control. So start out with, like, if you've been doing it for 21 days, just start out with some salad or some broth or something like that to get your intestines and everything working again, all right? Don't hurt yourself. If you've been fasting with us, we're so thankful. Listen, if you fasted one meal, one day, whatever you did, we're so grateful. Because the Bible says, the scripture is quite clear in Matthew, it says, when you fast, amen? It doesn't say if, it says when you do. And some have fasted the first time for 21 days. Last year we had somebody fast for 21 days. This year, 21 days. And guess what? They made it. They're still alive. You can do it too. And some of these don't come out but by prayer and fasting. And it really is that unbelief that God wants to destroy in our lives. Amen? And he's done some of that. We've had some amazing things happen in these past couple of weeks. Steve, last week, right? He was in a car accident 2 weeks ago, and he came in and said, "My back," prayed for him, went home. His back was healed, no more pain. All because of faith in Jesus Christ. Not because of anything anybody has done, but because we agreed to agree with the Word of God. Amen? And then Friday night, we had everybody here, and we just spent 4 hours in praise and worship, and it was incredible. I looked down at my phone, and it said 9:24. I'm like, how did that happen so fast? And there were some words given and stuff, and it was just a beautiful time in the Lord. We started out with the whole band, and then Ashley and Landon, he was on the box drum, she was on the guitar, and then Catherine by herself on the piano, and then Jeff finished up on the guitar, and it was just a glorious time. And you know, Kate and Steve had talked to somebody up in Jewett, and a lady come down with the church. They're going through some things up there, and they want to get together, and they want to talk about how they can work through some things up there. You know, when we're praying and fasting, God brings unity, and God opens doors that would have never opened before, that we couldn't open. We don't even know. I never even heard of these people, but we got to take communion with people we never met before. How beautiful is God? You know, he's just incredible. And then what we did Saturday is we got together, and I don't know if you all knew it, but you all were invited. But the 7 of us came, and we spent about an hour in prayer, and then we just went out. We said, look, for the afternoon, we're not doing anything else. except just going, and everything is done through a place of rest. And we weren't striving. And wherever the Lord led us, we're just going to go out and find somebody to talk to. And we had a good time. Yeah. We all went separate directions. Everybody went in a different direction. And you know, sometimes you can get discouraged. I went into Ollie's. I'd never been in there before. But I can tell you every food product they have on their shelves. None of it really amounts to food for the most part, but it looked good yesterday. And so I didn't have nothing happened in Ollie's. So I went to Walmart. Big mistake. Cost me $60. Oh, yeah, tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. And I didn't witness. I couldn't find any. I tried to start a couple of conversations. Nothing happened. And I say, well, I'm not going home till this is done. And I'm buying shrimp and fettuccine and the salt. I've never bought that stuff. My wife always does that. I never made fettuccine Alfredo, shrimp Alfredo, but I wanted it. I got it in my cart, and I'm looking. I'm like, what the heck am I? I got to get back to looking at people. I was mesmerized by the food. So I got to go someplace where there's no food, so I go to Lowe's. And once I got past the candy rack, I was good, you know? And I got past the candy rack, and as I was walking through the store, and I had a couple of conversations, and then this one kid, he's standing there, and he works at Lowe's, and I just went up to him and started to talk to him. I said, how are we doing today? And I just use the same line all the time, you know, how's the good Lord treating you today? And he said, well, pretty good. I said, how are you treating him? I don't know, probably pretty good. I said, according to what standard? I don't know. What standard are we supposed to have, he says. I said, it's called the Word of God. I said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Well, he said, I grew up religious. And we had an entire conversation for about almost an hour. And I got to pray for him. I didn't lead him to Christ, not yet, but he's coming. But I got to pray for him, and then I said, listen, I'm going to stop in and see you again. He said, I'd like to continue this conversation. It's like, yes. Now, I didn't get this him. I didn't see this heart pounding in the light. Doof, 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 doof. It's not what happened. I just went up, and I was just kind and just asked what was going on in his life. And then Miss Rosemary, she took off and walking down the street, and then one person didn't want to talk to her much. And so she said, well, there must be another. And then she took a little ride in her car, and she stopped, and she met this young man. Did he show up, Miss Rosemary? Did you see him today? No, he didn't show up today? Well, that's all right. Well, he's coming. And she got to pray with him, and she led him to Christ. Just walking down the street looking for somebody. And then Pastor Jeff, he went out to Cascades to have a cup of coffee. And as he's sitting there, this gentleman sat down next to him. And he was a Jewish guy. I don't know what he does, but he was there. And so Jeff struck up a conversation with him. They talked for a while. And Jeff said, well, can I pray for you before you go? The guy said, no. It's a faith builder. It's a faith builder. Sometimes the Jewish people are a little tough. And he said, I'm not a practicing Jewish guy, though. So then he said, well, I'm going to take a walk. You know what? I want to go to that guitar shop up there. So then he walks up to the guitar shop, and he just walks in, and he starts talking to the guy, and of course he plays the guitar. So he finds the guitar and starts plucking away on it and talking with the guy. Next thing you know, they start talking about the Lord, and the guy listens, and then before he leaves, Jeff gets to pray with him and encourage him in the Lord. And now he has to go back and buy that guitar now. sorry, Lauren. A little less grocery money next week, but we got to win this guy. It's only going to cost a guitar, all right? So, but he, can I just tell you what God did? It was his desire to go to the guitar store, something very natural. He said, I've been wanting to stop in here. Let's see what God does. And he just walked up the street and walked in. See, it's not because there was some rhema word that came and said, do it. It's just because we made ourselves available. Oh, my wife was in Aldi's, and she was walking, and some couple waved to her. She doesn't know who they are. So she waved and went over and talked to them. People don't usually wave at me for some reason. But they waved at her. She went over and talked about the Lord. By the time she was done, the guy said, yeah, maybe I'll come to your church because I want to get baptized. He grew up in a Jehovah's Witness. But he said, I'm done with that. I just want what the Word of God says. And maybe I'll come to your church and I'll get water baptized. Can I tell you? Evangelism is not my wife's strength, but kindness is. And then when she didn't have a purpose in all these except looking around. And she came home with $100 worth of groceries too, but I might be praying tonight, come out in the name of Jesus, I don't know. But can I tell you, we just made ourselves available to God. We just said, we're not doing anything else on Saturday. We're going to come in and pray, and let's just go do what God wants to do. You know, we sang that song earlier. I don't want to miss one word you speak. Quiet my heart, I'm listening. That's step one. Step two is doing what he says. Can we agree? Right. Otherwise, we have a church full of pew sitters. Right? What Brother Albert Willis used to say, I'd rather be a wet water walker. In other words, somebody stepped out of the boat and didn't and failed and sunk or stumbled or whatever it was and everything didn't go right than a dry boat rider. I want to be a wet water walker rather than a dry boat rider. And I really believe this year is what this is what God's speaking. A whole house full of wet water walkers. Amen. Everybody, they mocked Peter when he stepped out of the boat, but by golly, he stepped out of the boat. Amen. They mocked him when the rooster crowed, but he preached the first time and 3,000 came into the kingdom of God. Amen. So even though he made mistakes, still God blessed him when, because God knew what was going on in Peter's heart, right? This is why when Jesus said, hey, tell everybody to go to Galilee, tell all the disciples and Peter. He knew Peter was all beat up. Maybe you're in here this morning and you feel all beat up. I want you to know God's calling your name. Amen. Maybe you're in here this morning, you feel like you have failed and you can't do it. It's impossible for you. Too many mistakes in your life. I want you to know it's a lie. God wants to use you. Just like he used Peter. Just like he used Paul. Stood there while Stephen was murdered. God didn't even bat an eye. Because how lovely are the feet of them that preach good news. And God welcomed Stephen in and said, I'm going to use this situation to touch Paul. And Paul is going to change people's lives. He's going to go to the Gentile world. I'm going to take a devout Jew, someone who's learned, and he's going to change the whole Gentile world by giving him Jesus, giving them Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what you've done, but it does matter what you do from here on out. What has our heart? Elias, you got to put something up there. How much time I got? Because we might be here a while. I just want to go back out in the street. Because whatever my wife doesn't have in evangelism, God's blessed me with. And I got that honest. Because my mom, she can talk to a stump too. She doesn't care. This morning, the title just His Voice. His Voice. And when we read Isaiah 30 and verse 21, it says, and your ears shall hear the word behind you saying this way, walk in it. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, that's where I want to walk. This year, I want to hear turn to the left or turn to the right. I told you about Brother Jimmy. Just take a right here, take a left here, take pull into this driveway. And he just heard the word and then he obeyed it. And he took a chance. He didn't know if he was going to get shot walking in that house, knocking on the door. He had no idea what was going to happen. But he believed God more than he believed his five senses. He trusted God more than he worried about what would happen. He believed that God was going to do something mighty through him. And so he wouldn't stop pursuing what the Holy Spirit was speaking. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to each one of us today. Because I believe that he has a purpose for you today. Right now, it's just training and equipping for the work of the ministry. Amen? Right. We're coming out of this time of fasting, and it was a shedding and a removing of stuff in each one of our lives so that we could hear clearly. Because all of us get out of control in one way, shape, or form during the year. Don't we? You let your guard down. Whatever it is, maybe for some it's food. Because we can't trade one addiction for another, can we? No. But how many times have people done that? I'll look up at the television. All right. How many times have people traded one addiction for another? Maybe it's just sitting in front of the television for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and on end. Maybe it's just sitting around and refusing to ever pick up the word of God. I don't know, but I don't know who does what, but I guarantee you every one of us at one time throughout the year will pull back from pressing in. And this is a year God said, it's not a fight to press in. Tell your neighbor, say, it's not a fight to press in. Because one of the words that have been familiar all the way through the fast, two words that have been familiar, stop striving. Stop striving. When we walked out of here Saturday, we weren't trying to do anything. We were just walking around, having a good time. We were just walking around, looking for someone just to be kind to. That's it. There was perfect peace. Hope said it this morning. She said, there's a peace in here. She said, it's tangible this morning. You know, when we spend time in prayer and in worship, then that peace does come. So everything that you do this year, you're not going to try to do in your strength. It's not about, I have to read a little bit more. I have to pray some more. Don't strive. Enjoy him. And then do it from a place of rest. No striving this year. You cannot earn God's favor. You've already got it.
That's right.
You had God's favor when you were lost. Because he said that's when he loved you. Amen? He knew you when you're in your mother's womb. He knew you. And he said, hey, I've got a plan for you and I've got a purpose. There's a set of steps. And Ashley prophesied on Friday night. Powerful word. A powerful word. She said, God showing her a picture. She had a vision while she was worshiping that she's standing there. And she said, you know, some people feel stuck. They're standing there. They've gone to the side and they've gone backwards, but they haven't gone forward. She said, but she could see the footprints that they were supposed to walk, and provision was in every single footprint. All that God wanted you to do, she said, it's right in front of you, and all you have to do is take that step, and when you do, provision will be there. The call of God will take care of itself. You won't have to strive. You can do it through rest. And so I want to encourage you this year, get away from trying to please God. When you came into the kingdom, that pleased the Father because you believed the Son. Amen? Now, it's about you changing the way that you think. I am accepted. I am loved. I have a purpose. I have a plan. I didn't do it all right, but my God already knows that, and he chose me anyway. Tell your neighbor, say, my God chose me. Who do you think you are? See, when we get to that place, that there's no doubt God chose us, and it says, you shall hear the word behind you. And about hearing God's word in each one of our lives, and so many spend a lot of their time trying to figure out what my calling is. And I think we make it a lot harder than we should. And so many sit around waiting for a word. Listen, when Paul got saved in the book of Acts, right? We see it. Paul, he gets knocked off of his horse. The bright light comes. Paul now has a relationship, and it says immediately Paul started preaching the word of God. Right? Immediately. He only met Jesus. He doesn't know everything that he's going to write yet, but he immediately started talking about what Jesus Christ had done and what God spoke to him. Now, for anybody that's been in church for a period of time, you've read the word of God or you've heard the word of God preached for a long time. When's the last time that we shared what the word of God has said, what we have read, and what God spoke to us and how he changed our lives? Can we share our testimony? Can anybody take your testimony away from you? Can anybody come to you and say, you know what, Steve? You're not even saved. Never. Nobody can ever tell me that God didn't change my life January 1st, 1987. Because they weren't there. I was. And it wasn't a light that came out of heaven, but it was the power of God when I agreed with what he said that cut everything loose in my life. And he wants to do the same thing. So we can share that. Paul started sharing that. We read later on when they started to pray and fast that Paul now was separated unto the call that I have called him to do. right? So Paul started serving immediately when he got saved. And it was later on, as he was had he been faithful to what God called him to do, preaching the word of God, serving wherever he could, praising God, and telling everybody about Jesus Christ. But it was later on that he found out exactly what he's supposed to do and go in to preach the gospel or preach Christ to the Gentiles. So we've got to, when you come in and you get saved, the first thought is, what am I supposed to be doing right now? How can I serve right now? It's really that simple. And then as you act on the word of God, God opens up other doors, right? We've been fasting and praying. We came together for prayer. We walked out. God opened up a door in certain people's lives. And somebody got saved. How simple is that? Acting on the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? By the word of God. Not just reading the word of God, but it comes by the word of God. Faith comes by the word of God. So as we read the word of God, we start to understand what faith is. And there's only one thing that pleases God, and that's faith. Amen? You're here by faith. If you're visiting today, you're here by faith. Because you know that this life hasn't produced what you were looking for, and you're still looking for something else. That's why I came. We tried it all. Nothing satisfied. Said, there's got to be more to life than this. And man, is there. In his presence, there's a fullness of joy. Man, oh man, I'll tell you, it's incredible what God can do in a life that's been shattered. John 10, 3 through 5. It says, to him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own, all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. You know, there's not a single person in here that ever reads this letter or this part of Scripture that couldn't have their life radically changed. None. There's not any marriage in here. I don't care what kind of dire strait your marriage is in. One word from the Father and everything can be radically changed. One word can change everything. So whatever you're going through, one word from the great shepherd. Pastors, we're just under shepherds. We're carrying out his purpose and preaching his word so that he's magnified in everything we do, but he's the great shepherd. And you know, I believe that you already know his voice, and I believe you've heard it many times. Because if you're saved, you already know his voice. You already heard him, and he spoke to you, and you stepped out and you trusted that, and you said, I believe on Jesus Christ. Not because of a person did it, because people tried to get you to do a lot of things, haven't they, over the years? Some of them right, some of them really, really wrong. And you were able to say no, but then one day there was a voice that said, yeah, you need this. Yes, that's who I am. Yes, that's why I've come for you. Thoughts and impressions are one of the ways that God speaks to us. Notice that he said, look at verse 3 there. It says, to him, the doorkeeper opens the door, and the sheep hear his voice. He didn't say the sheep can hear his voice. He didn't say the sheep should hear his voice. He made a statement that the sheep do hear his voice. Okay, it's quite clear here in the scriptures. There's no doubt that you can, and you have. But sometimes, you know, people will argue with that statement and the accuracy because their experience might say something different. But when it comes to your experience or the word of God, I'll stand on the word of God every single time. Because as we come to we get a greater understanding, we find out that impression that God gives, right? The scripture says that we worship, those who worship the Lord worship him in spirit and in truth, right? Right, so God is a spirit, and what does he do? He speaks to our spirit, doesn't he? Right, we're not going to hear the audible word. Now, we know there's some Christophanies in the Old Testament where Jesus actually came, and they said it was the angel of the Lord. We know there's a bunch of Christophanies there. We know sometimes Gabriel come and speak, the angel that announces. But And like Moses had the burning bush, and different times they spoke with the Lord. But in the New Testament, most of the time, we watch and we listen. After Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit started to speak. He spoke through people. Amen? And those people had an unction that came from within their spirit. We don't hear the audible voice a lot. Some people have heard an audible voice. Some people have seen angels. I haven't. I'd love to one day. It'd be great. But I'm not waiting around to do nothing until that happens. I'm going to learn to listen, right? Because his spirit, the spirit of God, is speaking to my spirit. And every one of us have missed it, haven't you? I remember we were in Greenville, and one gentleman was getting ready to be released to go start a church. And I just had this thing in my heart, and I just didn't feel right about it. And I brought it up to the elders, and I said, I think that because of these three reasons. Now, me and him were both set in as elders together. I'm the youngest guy in the room at this time, right? I'm in my, I'm 29 or 31, somewhere right in there. I forget how old I was exactly. Room full of everybody's older than myself. And I said, I just don't feel right about this. Because it was something that was inside. And they said, well, if you feel that strong about it, then you tell him he's not ready. I was like, what? And I chickened out. I chickened out. I'm the youngest guy. You know what I said? I defer to all y'all's wisdom. I'll go along with what everybody says. The church didn't make it. It closed after years. Because I knew inside there was something that wasn't quite right. And I knew it needed a little bit of work. Was there a calling? Yes, but it was a timing issue. It wasn't the calling. And so you felt that also. You know, I remember when I was preparing to go to Iraq and go over there and meet those guys as we were starting that church over there, or the building of the church. And I remember I had this, on the inside. And I knew I was supposed to go. Everything inside of me, I was running at 10,000 RPM, just night and day. I couldn't stop thinking about Iraq. And then I got around a bunch of pastors, and they said, you shouldn't be going, brother. The State Department says this is a no-fly zone, that they're not even allowing people to fly into Iraq. But I had that inner witness, and I knew I was supposed to go. And all I said was, somebody's got to go, and it might just as well be me. But three or four people came up to me and said, brother, I don't think this is God. I don't think this is a good idea. But I knew that witness now. I knew the difference between man's voice and the Spirit of God speaking to me. And I went, and what an incredible time we had. What amazing thing God's done. So I believe that, you know, as we hear the voice of God, he's the great shepherd. He wants to speak to us. And can I tell you, God's speaking every day to you. There is not a day in your life, because many times we've cried out, oh, God, help me. God, I don't know what to do. And then God says, well, what I want you, God, help me. I don't know what to do. I know, just hang on a second. God, what do I do? Brenda, tell me, what am I supposed to do? Because I don't know what I'm supposed to do. God, hang on a second. God, Brenda, tell me. Oh, isn't that how we don't. Obviously, maybe a little bit exaggerated for some of you. But we don't stop and listen and wait on the Lord. So we did Friday night. We just waited on the Lord. He gave words, gave visions. It was sweet. It was powerful. Saturday morning, we got up. We just waited on the Lord for an hour. Spoke to him. And then we walked out. There was an impression on each one of us that we were excited about it. We were so excited about it. And you know what? You might not talk to anybody that time, but it's about learning to hear that witness on the inside. Amen? But you're going to have to pull away from what you normally were doing, because every one of us have idols in our lives, and God wants to remove some of them because he wants first place. We can't have anything high. If all of your time is spent doing what you want to do. And, you know, it can be good things. Working is a good thing. until it's not. Working is a very good thing. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So if you don't have a job, get one. It's real simple. You can't drive through Hudson without getting hit in the head with 50 help wanted signs. There's plenty of work out there. But when work becomes an idol or it becomes a hiding place, how many know that you can hide in your gifting but not be doing the word of God or the will of God? Years ago, there was a woman that came, phenomenal cook, just phenomenal. Anything we did, she was in the kitchen, but wouldn't come out of the kitchen. In church, in the kitchen, but that's where she hid. That's where she had control. That's where she had strength. That's where she wasn't afraid. But God said, hey, come out of the kitchen. Nope, not doing it. I don't know where God's calling you out of, but I really believe that this year he's calling you out of where you've been. It's a year that he's calling you out. We have some visiting distinguished guests here today. Ms. Kia Walker is now a board member at the Hudson High School. She is... So bring all your complaints about the curriculum, see Kia? No, she's, listen, we know the call of God on Kia's life, and we know God was just going to keep opening doors, and somebody stepped off, so she's got a three-month window that she gets to be on the board. And then there's going to be a vote to see if she stays on or not. Krista, see, you're about a raise. She's on the board now, all right? Krista's a teacher over there. but you know what? Didn't know that door was going to open. But you know what she's been doing? Staying faithful to the call of God in her life. Not allowing other things to come in and take over. And I don't know, but if any of you know Kia, she's busy. She runs a Bible study. She's the one that runs the women's home over there. She's raising, I don't know, 2-3 dozen kids. She's busy. And then she has to take care of her husband. That's a full-time job. Because we just love Larry. She's busy. But yet when God opened the door, she said, I'll do it to be a witness in my community. See, I don't know what doors God's going to open. She's been serving for a long time here. And one of her desires was that because her kids are in the school. And she wants a voice in there a little bit stronger. They've heard her come into the board meetings and pound her fist and hoot and holler. Now she can listen to people pound their fist and hoot and holler, right, Kia? But I believe that because of the Christ that's on the inside of her and the gift of God on the inside of her, and as she takes time to sit and listen to the Lord long before their meetings, that she's going to bring wisdom from another world. See, and that's who you are. When we sit and we listen to the Father and then we share what he gives, then we're a witness from another world, from the Spirit of God in our spirit, and then we start to act upon what God speaks to us. Maybe he's telling you to lay something down today. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a bad attitude. Just look at your neighbor for a second. No? All right. You can tell by looking at their face. 80% of what you say is body language. So you could tell if they had an attitude. And if they had one, just encourage them. Let's get rid of your attitude. All right? Just encourage them. Just do it in a loving way. But I believe that God wants us to lay something down this morning. Whatever your distraction is, whatever has been consuming you, because we're not trying to strive this year, amen? Tell your neighbor, say, no striving. Tell your other neighbor, say, from a place of rest. Right. We're not striving to get in. We're not striving to get. We're not striving to understand. We're not striving for anything. We're only going in and enjoying our God. He said, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. So he is, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, it's about acting upon his word this year. Acting upon his word, what he wants done. Psalms 46:10 says, be still. And what? And know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you're going to know him, you're going to have to know the word of God. That's the way it works. If you want to know him, it's only through the word of God that we get understanding through him. We look at the life of Jesus Christ, whose blood shed, as we said earlier, for all of, was enough for all of our sins, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, right?
So we find out through the word of God that there's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. And anyone who wants to come to the Father has to come through him. So we know that by faith we have to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, lay down our lives, pick up our cross, and follow him. Maybe this year it's just a year for you to pick your cross back up again. Maybe you hung it in the closet. Maybe you put it in the garage. Maybe you buried it outside because you were tired of carrying that thing. Sometimes we get there, don't we? Things go awry, and sometimes we just draw back. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, I've got a plan and I've got a job for you to do. The Lord always speaks to us through a still, small, still voice, the scripture says, right in 1 Kings. He wants to speak to us, and he's speaking to us right now. There is no condemnation here this morning, and we don't have to strive for anything. Every good and perfect gift you've already received, amen? Tell your neighbor, say, I got mine. Tell your other neighbor, say, don't you wish you had mine? You see, you've gotten a gift. Every gift, every good and perfect thing God has given, your salvation complete. Isn't that good news? Stop wondering. You get up in the morning, oh, I was terrible yesterday. Oh, God, am I still saved? Yeah. No, really? Yeah. Yeah, but God, you don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand anything. Go ahead and tell me. Teach me. We have this argument with God instead of agreeing with God. He speaks to you and says, you're saved. I love you with an everlasting love. Oh, you can't possibly love me. Yes, I can. No, you can't. Yes, I can. And we have these goofy, childish actions that we live out. Instead of saying, thank you for loving me the way that you loved your own son. Thank you for loving me in the shape that I was in. Thank you for loving me all the way into your kingdom. Now, Lord, I want to pick up that cross because I know there's a call of God in my life, and I know that there's a plan and a purpose, and I know that if I'll just sit and listen with you and enjoy you, that you'll guide me all the way through every area of my life and every step that I have to take. This is what God wants to do in each one of our lives. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's a must. It's a must. Colossians 3:15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. His voice this year. Lauren prayed it when we were on, I don't know, last Thursday, Wednesday, I forget when she was here. The voice of God must be the loudest voice in your head. Yep. You need to write that down. You need to put it on your mirror. You need to put it on your dashboard. Put it on your visor of your car every time you drop that thing. Put it on a loop in your phone. The voice of God must be the loudest voice in my life this year. There will be no voice that's louder than my God. None. There'll be no other voice that will consume me. There'll be no other voice that I will spend more time listening to. There will be nothing else that takes me in a different direction. The voice of God will be the loudest voice in my life. It will drown out every other voice that comes. It will drown out the voice that says, this is a good thing. But you know it's not a God thing. You know it's good for some, but it is not good for you. And it's going to drown that voice out because God's going to say, no, I love you with an everlasting love. Let's put that aside for right now. You've already been there and done that. Let's not do that. And then we're going to act on that voice. Say, yes, sir. Yes, Lord, because your love is extraordinary. He loves it when I preach. Grandbabies are incredible. His cheeks are so fat that when I go up and kiss on him, I start to choke because they go down. You're just huge. And you just can't help but chew on them. Oh, my goodness, are grandbabies gifts from God. But so are you. Everyone in here is a gift from God. Don't worry, I won't be chewing on your cheeks. But I will be challenging you this year that his voice has to drown out every other voice in your life this year. Amen. You're only going to listen to his.
You're only going to obey his. No matter what everybody else is doing, when you look at the men of God, Peter, James, John, they heard, I guarantee you, the voice of their father wasn't, hey, that's a great idea, boys. Leave me here with everything to do. Go follow him. Yeah, we got this business, all these boats. We got to catch fish to make payments. Have fun, fellas.
But they listened to the voice of God. Paul walked away from everything. All the status, all the finances he would ever need. Everything, he walked away from it all. One time, one moment with the Father. I pray that this was your moment with the Father in worship today. I pray that as you were in the prayer room, God spoke to you. Because this year, he's going to impress on you. And he's going to give you little things to do. The first thing we do is now that you're saved, you start serving. No matter what it is. The first day we went to Greenville, I just started setting up chairs. They didn't even ask me. I just wanted to help. There was only 25 people in the church, so it wasn't that big a deal, remember? I set up chairs, and then I got hit in the head with a back up with wadded up paper. Sitting in church. I only been saved 3 months. Turn around, this kid hit me with a wadded up ball of paper. That stinking, I'm going to beat him. I'm just barely saved. Whack! I get hit again. At the end of service, I'm looking at that kid, I want to kill him. I walk up to the pastor, and I said, look, you need to deal with them kids in the back row. Because that one kid right there, he hit me 3 times in the back of the head with a wad of paper. Pastor says, I'm sorry, that's my son. And then he gave me liberty. He said, do whatever you want. Next Sunday, I sat there as high as I could in my seat, hoping to get hit with a piece of paper. I didn't want nobody else getting hit. I chased that kid outside. I stuck his head in a mud puddle, and I just slammed it into the mud there. He come up looking like a whole different person. He's gargling with mud by the time I got done with him. You know what? He still calls me every once in a while. He asked me this fall. He says, why don't you come on out to my house? He lives out in Montana. He says, come on out. Come on out and shoot some elk and come out. Just hang out with me. And he loves me. And I love him with all of my heart. I don't know how it's going to start out for you. But sometimes you don't think it's going to be a very good relationship. And then it turns into something lifelong that you'll lay your life down for. But I want God's voice to be the loudest one in your head all year. Amen? Can we do that? No matter what anybody else is doing, you're doing what your Father has asked you to do. Let's stand up this morning. He's opened the door. You know, tell your neighbors, I know his voice. You felt it before and you double checked it. Or maybe you pushed it aside. You're not pushing it aside anymore. When he drops it down in you, hey, go call Sally. Sally's hurting today. Stop over and bring Harry a cup of coffee. Take Pastor out for dinner. I know God gave somebody that word this morning. And no, they did. Whatever it is, let's just obey him. Go buy a guitar, would you, Jeff? Whatever it is, we're going to obey his voice. Amen? And just enjoy him, but from a place of rest. From a place of rest. Howie, he's over here visiting from Montana. When we were younger, it was us and the Englehearts against the Seymours. We had rock fights. Howie used to throw rocks at me. Howie's a couple years older than me. Here I was, a little kid, and Howie's got the high ground up on the hill. He's heaving rocks at my head. Come here, kid. Now he's one of my favorite people on the whole planet. He hit me a couple of times, you could probably tell, but I'm doing all right. He had like 27 brothers and sisters, so it was an even fight. The Englehearts had 8 kids, you know, so we teamed up. It was incredible. Then we went from rock fights, apple fights. We was always fighting, all in love, just being good friends and neighbors. But I want you to know, some relationships God's going to start this year are going to start crazy. Hopefully it's not a rock fight.
But it's going to start crazy for you if you listen to them. And then you're going to bring transformation into their lives by the power of God's love in your life. And then he's going to speak to you and say, go, bring, love, encourage, don't stop. Because people never gave up on you. Your God never gives up on you. Amen. Father, today, as we come before you, Father, we thank you for your word. As you said, you're the doorkeeper, and it's open. And your sheep hear your voice. Father, we thank you for allowing us to hear your voice. Let us be like Paul. Father, the first time that we received you, let us not stop serving and working in your life or in your kingdom. And then we know as we step out in these little things that you're going to open up another door and another door and another door. Lord, we agree this morning that the door that Kia is walking through now, you're going to give her great favor. Words of wisdom. Where they're going to say, where did you get that from? And she's going to say, I don't have a clue. It came from the Lord. And they're going to say, tell me more about this. How do you get these words? And she's going to say, because I know the shepherd's voice. And he loves me. And he wants what's best for our school. And Father, I pray for each one, wherever we walk out of here today, that as we hear your voice, Lord, that we would take time and listen. We wouldn't be those yelling and screaming, trying to become. But we would listen, write it down, as Habakkuk 2 says, put it before our eyes and don't stop until we see you bring it to fruition. Thank you for the body of Christ this morning and for the gift that everyone is here. Every other life, every other word has to be drowned out by his. But you're going to have to sit and listen because he's going to speak to your spirit. And you're going to know it's him. Because it's usually going to go against the grain in your flesh. But your spirit man is going to say, yes! I knew he wanted me to do something like this. God bless you. Have an amazing day. Remember, for those of you that fasted, no wolves. You're hamsters today. Just little bites, a little bit, and then get back into it. But don't ever go back to what you were doing before. Let's do it differently in the name of Jesus. God bless you.